Welcome to Ministry Focus with Pastor Chad Nall, where we talk real and we live Jesus. I'm your co-host, Brian Foster, and of course, we have our pastoral panel that we have assembled once again for another episode of Ministry Focus. And tonight's topic, we're going back into end times prophecy, and we'll introduce our special guest for that in just a moment. First, let's welcome our pastoral panel. First, of course, our host, Reverend Chad Nall. Good evening, brother, and thank you for having us again.
All right. Yeah, man. Hey, I'm excited about tonight. It's part two of what we did the last time when we did on end times prophecy. And so looking forward to getting back into, we'll pretty much be in the book of Revelation tonight. And so looking forward to that. Hey, man, I wouldn't want to be here with anybody else than this guy's right here at the table. And so just thankful to be here and looking forward to what we got for this episode.
And of course, we've got Pastor Jamie Crispin with us. Good morning or good evening, Pastor.
Morning, Brian.
Hey, it's the first time you've seen him, right?
Good morning. You see me. I get it. No, glad to be here. Looking forward to it.
Still on daylight savings
time. I understand totally.
You know, I still hadn't transitioned. And of course, Pastor Joe Carpenter. Good evening, Pastor.
Good morning, evening, and day to all out there. Definitely excited to be here.
Thank you for saving me, brother. The check's in the mail. But anyway, Pastor Chad said, we're going to delve back into end times prophecy. This is going to be part two of our series. And of course, we are glad to have Reverend Jim Babb with us this evening. And welcome to the podcast
again.
Thank
you, Brian.
So let's go ahead and get dialed in. And so I'm going to lead off with this question, and then we're just going to have a good time talking about this. With your extensive studies in end times prophecy, Jim, with what is happening on the world stage at this moment in time, where do you see the church positioned according to the Bible's timeline?
Well, we have to look at the church today as being, I believe, in the Laodicean age. The church age is the last age, dispensation before the raptured church and the tribulation. So we're sitting right on the edge, the parapet of end times right now. I was looking today and thinking about that, I went to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and it says there in verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron."
So, just to follow up on that, if I'm a baby Christian and I'm new to the faith and I have a basic understanding of what end times are, but I'm not really sure, I do know that Jesus is coming back. Where do you see, and of course the Bible says that no man knows the time, only the Father knows the time, so I want to clarify that before we get into this, but how close do you see us approaching the rapture of the church?
It's hard to say, Brian. It's an imminent event. It can happen at any moment. So it could be 5 minutes. It could be 100 years. But it could happen at any given moment. So we need to be ready at any time because we don't know. Go ahead, bro, Jake.
I think the urgency of readiness is what the focus is now. Mm-hmm. As you said, we don't know.
Right.
We do not know the time. And for us to speculate is just that. It's speculation. There have been many people that died on that hill and they were wrong. And so that's the last thing we want to do is go anything that's contrary to scripture. But I believe the sense of urgency of readiness is growing now, probably more than it ever has in history.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's because we're seeing what's taking place around us, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, really and truly, when you look at scripture and you lay it as a transparency over top of our world today, we see where things are starting to collide. And what I mean by that is we are seeing right now so many things taking place in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing wars and rumors of wars around the world. Mm-hmm. We're seeing, we'll use COVID-19 as a good example, right? We're starting to see, these worldwide pandemics. We're starting to see these things starting taking place. And I don't believe that those things are like end times. I believe it's the birthing pains and conditioning the world to be prepared for the end times. And we're right there on the brink of it, as you said. And we don't know, but I do think it's closer than it's ever been due to what we're seeing in the world today. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think I think readiness is the word. I think it is. Mm-hmm. Urgency is the word. Absolutely.
And it's those indicators that we're all talking about. There's certain events that happen in our lives and throughout history that you can tell that something is coming based off the indicators, the writing on the wall that you would see. And we're seeing them not only within our nation, but the entire world. And they're all pointing. If you read your scripture, if you're into end time prophecies, they're all pointing in the same direction. And that is the rapture. Do we know when it's coming? We do not. Absolutely not. But we do know that it is coming, and the indicator is sooner than later is what it feels like.
Amen. Amen. I tell you what, let me tee it up this way tonight. What I want to do just briefly for those that are listening, maybe you have not got into eschatology. That's the study of end times. And so, I'm going to take just briefly, because I know we're going to pretty much be in the book of Revelation tonight.
Right.
As we do, our podcast. And so, just briefly, I'm going to give the 2-minute, timeline, so to speak, of kind of where we are, where we're headed, and what it looks like. And so, right now we are in the church age. That's where we're at. And I believe, as you said, we're on the precipice of it. We're right on the edge. The next thing that takes place after the church age is done is the rapture. Christ will come in the air. He's not touching Mount Olives. No. So it's not his second coming, but he will come and he will call us up, right? We'll be called up in the air and the rapture will take place. The church will be snatched out. It's imminent, meaning that no one knows the time. It's just like a thief is really what that word means, mm-hmm. as if you were robbed on the street, right? And so he's going to show up. Now, listen, there's two things that's going on, right? The book of Revelation, as you read the book of Revelation, as you study the book of Revelation, it's almost like one of those sitcoms that's got three different couples, that's got three different things going on, but they're all part of the same show. That's sort of what the book of Revelation's all alike, right? So listen, there's some things that's going on in heaven. And while those things are going on in heaven, there are things that are going on the earth, mm-hmm. right? And so, so when you study the book of Revelation, you have to go to snap back and forth. And so when the church is raptured up, there's things that's going to be taking place on earth, and there's going to be things that's taking place in heaven. So I want to go the high route first. Okay. So once the church is raptured out, then every believer will go before something called the Bema seat. That is the judgment seat of Christ. Sure. And those believers will come into a place of judgment for what they did with what they were given. What'd you do with what I gave you, right? And now these believers are they're Christians. They are the church. They are going to heaven, but they are still going to go through the Bema seat. In other words, they're going to be tried by fire, is what the Word of God says. Just like when gold goes through the fire, it gets more pure. So if you have a piece of 10-karat gold and they run it back through the fire, it comes out 14-karat gold. It comes out more pure. And so as we stand in that judgment seat as a believer, and we're going to be judged, it's almost like going through the fire. We're going to be purified. The hay and the stubble will be burned away. And what will be left is what we did for Christ and what we had stewardship over for him, with our life. And that's what we will be rewarded for. And so once that takes place, once we go through the judgment seat of Christ, we'll go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Okay. Now, once that takes place, that is the symbolism of Christ being the husband, the church being the bride, and we are coming together in union, right? And we're going to have this celebration at the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's what this is. Okay. Now let's pause and let's go to scene two of what's taking place on the earth during this time. Now, listen, we don't know the exact time, that the period of tribulation is going to take place. right? We do know that the rapture is going to happen. It's going to be chaos in this world. We don't know how long it's going to be before God begins to pour out his judgment on this world. We don't know when tribulation is going to actually start, but we do know that while we're in heaven and while we are being judged at the Bema seat of Christ, during this time, at some point, the period of tribulation will take place here on earth. And that is, we know that is 7 years long. Now, at the end of that 7 years, at some point, we will leave our marriage supper and we will come with Christ back to this earth. Mm-hmm. And at that point, there will be the Battle of Armageddon. Mm-hmm. That is when all of the world will join together at this time, and they will come in war against God, against Christ. And we know what the Bible says, that he is going to spill the blood. A 200-mile valley will be full of blood up to the horse's bridle. That's what the Word of God says. Now, once that takes place, once this great war takes place, then that will usher in something called the millennial kingdom. That is where Christ is going to set up an earthly kingdom here on this earth, and he is going to reign as the king, as the perfect king, on the throne of David for 1,000 years. During this period, Satan will be bound, and he will be locked away. And so at the end of that millennial kingdom, he will be released to pour more havoc out in this world. And then finally, he will be done away with. At that point, he will be, Christ will abolish him, and he will send him to the lake of fire. Then, after this millennial kingdom takes place, there's going to be another judgment. At this judgment, it's the great white throne judgment. Now, that is where everyone that has rejected Christ, that is the demons, that is the fallen angels, that is the devil himself, death, hell, all those things will give up their dead, and they will all be judged for the sin and the rejection of Christ, and their judgment will be to be placed in the lake of fire for the eternity. What is that really? That's hell, and that is separation from God for eternity, is what that is. Once that takes place, then it ushers in a new era for all those that will go into the next phase of heaven, and that is the new heaven, a new earth, the new Jerusalem, and that will be our eternity future where we will rest for the rest of eternity. And so that is the timeline for the book of Revelation. That is the timeline for end times. And there is a lot that takes place within that. And so for those that don't really know what's taking place and is kind of new to this thing, I just wanted to make sure we laid out that timeline. So when we're talking about the period of tribulation, you know, while tribulation's going on, the church is going to be being judged. Mm-hmm. Right. Now, when the church is done being judged, we're going to go to the celebration of the marriage between the Lamb and the bride. And there we're going to be. And then we're going to come back and we're going to be a part of that great battle of Armageddon. We will be spectators. We will not be participators. Mm-hmm. Christ is going to handle it. And so, man, I tell you what, I get to talking about it. I ain't gonna lie, brother. I'm about to get excited here because that is the book of Revelation as a quick outline in a nutshell. And so, for all the listeners out there that's like, man, I don't really understand it. There's a lot of symbolism. 95% of the book of Revelation is prophecy. And so it is hard to understand. I'll be the first one to say, and it's taken me a long time to kind of put things in order and kind of understand those things. But, by and large, that's kind of where it's at. And so, Jim, I tell you what I'd like to jump into. You've talked about the Laodicean church age. And so we know, chapter one is kind of the what you've seen, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of this is what we've seen. In other words, this is the church that we've seen what's taking place in the church. And then we get into, chapters 2 and 3. That's the letters to the 7 churches. And so we kind of talked about that on the last podcast. We talked about it being the Laodicean church age. We talked about the city of Laodicea and all those things. Let's move forward though. Let's move. And we talked about the tribulation last time, but what we haven't talked about really, we really haven't talked about the judgment seat of Christ.
We haven't
talked about it much. No. Right. And so I think that might be a good place because a lot of people don't understand the judgments. I know I just threw y'all a curveball, but, let's talk a little bit about that judgment seat. Let's talk about what the overall meaning of this is for the believer.
Yeah. For the believer, the judgment seat of Christ is where we are, we are judged by Christ for reward. We can go deep into the crowns and all like that, and it would take hours. But what happens at the judgment seat of Christ is everything that we've done for self, everything that we've done that was of no consequence for Christ will just be burned up. Everything we did for Christ, all the work we did for Christ, the fruit that we bore for Christ will be our reward. And that reward is not for us to keep, but these are the things, the crowns, and these rewards are the things that we will lay at the feet of Christ.
Right.
To honor him. It's not for our glory. It's for his glory.
Amen. Let's talk about you brought up the crowns. Let me just let me talk about the five crowns, right? It's the incorruptible crown, which is the victor's crown, right? Mm-hmm. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. There's a crown of life, which is the martyr's crown. We see that in Revelation 2:10. There's a crown of glory, which is the elder's crown, and that's 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. Then we have the crown of righteousness for those who love his appearing. Hopefully that's all of us sitting at this table. Amen. That's in 2 Timothy 4:8. And then we have the crown of rejoicing. That is the soul winner's crown. I just seen Pastor Joe's, I just seen him perk up right there when I said that. He's passionate about that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 through 20. The judgment of believers for their works, you really, as a scriptural reference for those listeners out there that really says, well, where can I find that? Where is it at? Where is it at? Where is it at? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. And then we can also see it talks about it briefly in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10.
Right.
That is the scriptural reference. There's where we see this judgment of believers taking place, tried by fire. And then we go to the marriage, of the Lamb in Revelation 19, verses 7 through 9. And then we'll, the glorious appearing in 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 10. And so that's the nutshell of that, but it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. So those crowns are going to be laid at the feet of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It's absolutely wonderful. And Pastor Chad, you're saying 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That all is everyone who is saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Mm-hmm. And depending on if it's good or bad is dependent on if it burns up. If you do something that is good, but of not done a pure of heart. So you come to your church and you make a big tithe offering, but you did it grudgingly. Bible says God loves a joyful giver. You didn't do it out of your heart. You did it to show off to the pastor what it is for recognition. That'll get burned up. That's gone. Even though you gave to God, it wasn't done for God. It was done for another reason. And when all our works are tried, God knows everything. And that is which is of gold will remain. And those are those crowns that we get. All those souls we won to cross, all the everything we did for the glory of God will remain. And those are the crowns that we get to go forward and lay at the feet of Jesus Christ. And every time we talk about this, I can't help but think, could you imagine showing up to heaven and not having a crown to give?
Really?
I'll tell you, brother, people have always asked me things about the judgment seat, and I always tell them my greatest fear is to stand before my Lord Jesus Christ and have nothing to lay at his feet.
Right.
Just got into heaven by the skin of my teeth. I've heard pastors say there'll be no tears at the judgment seat of Christ, but I think there will be when we see how little we have done for his glory. Right.
Well, Pastor Joe was talking about and everything being tried in fire. Like it says in Revelation, Jesus said to the Laodiceans to kind of draw that back to the age that we're in, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire.
That's right.
It's for him. It's for his sake. As you said, it's not for our own glory. And then also too, Pastor Chad also mentioned 1 Corinthians chapter 3, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. To think that we're laborers with God.
Amen.
Amen. That'll make you want to work.
Yeah.
That'll make you want to get out there and work.
Because when you really think about the Bema seat, you have to think about judgment, right?
Right.
And so when you really lay it out, you really see five different judgments. You see the judgment. One was for the believers for sin at the cross. Judgment two is the believer for the works. Judgment three is judgment for the Jews. And judgment four is the judgment for the nations. And then finally, we see judgment five, which is the great white throne, the judgment for the wicked. And so those are the judgments. And so therefore, the believers really and truly, their judgment is the Bema seat of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so speaks back to urgency.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It speaks Absolutely. Back to serving and working. Now, let me say this very clearly in case you're listening. You cannot work your way to heaven.
Mm-hmm. No, that's right.
No,
you cannot get there by works. There's only one way there. Jesus Christ said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. So we know that there's only one way, by grace through faith.
Right.
That's the only way we're getting there. But I believe if you are born again, I believe if you have an honest, genuine relationship with Jesus Christ, then you are going to serve him and you're going to have works and you're going to have crowns and you're going to be able to lay those at his feet.
That's yeah. right.
And so what a sad day it will be if the only crown you have is the crown of righteousness, which he's earned for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
That's going to be a sad day, friend. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Hey, you're in. You may have the stench of hell on you, but you're going to be in, you know?
You know, I think the study of prophecy, the study of end times, if you really do it right, what you should get from this, from all of this, is that the fields are white harvest. And there's very few workers out there harvesting God's crop.
That's right.
Yeah, amen.
And we've got very little time, if it even is 100 years, we've got very little time to win the lost. And one thing that breaks my heart every time I read it, you know, I think it's in Matthew where it says, you know, straight is the gate and narrow is the way.
Chapter 7.
And few there be that find it.
Mm-hmm.
But what breaks my heart is knowing that more people will find their way into hell than will find their way into heaven. And more people will find their way there because I failed in my duty to Christ to deliver the gospel to a lost and dying world.
Amen. So we talked about what's going on in heaven. Mm-hmm. Talk about what's going on to Bema Seat. Let's talk about the period of tribulation.
Okay.
So what's going on during this period of tribulation? The book of Revelation is laid out by sevens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, it really is. You've got the seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven key figures, the seven bowls, the seven dooms on Babylon, and then you got the return of Christ.
Right.
And so just briefly, let's lay that out, because you talked about those that are lost. You talked about those that would find themselves in hell. And if Christ was to come tonight, and let's say the period of tribulation would take place a year from now for all those that are left here that are not Christians,
right?
They're going to experience what we're talking about right here.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Absolutely.
They're going to experience it. And so I think it's important for us to kind of lay that out just briefly. And you really start picking up on these judgments in the book, in chapter 6 of Revelation. And they kind of, we see the seven seals that take place.
Mm-hmm.
Now we know that, there's a great scene in heaven that takes place, and the Father has the title deed to the earth mm-hmm. in his hand. And we know from the book of Revelation, it says that no man was worthy to take it from his hand, but one.
That's right.
That was the Lamb, Jesus Christ. So Jesus takes this scroll, and it has what on it, Jim?
has seven seals.
And what happens when those seals are opened?
At each opening of those seals, certain judgments will fall upon the earth.
Right. It starts with a horseman.
Yeah, it starts with a horseman, the four horsemen, we call it, of the apocalypse.
Right.
The first one is the white horse. And the white horse kind of refers to the Antichrist and to the conquering power mm-hmm. that will take place, that will overtake the world, that will rule the world. The second seal will be a red horse. And this is war and bloodshed.
Mm-hmm.
This is getting, I can't say how close this is getting. I mean, it tells us that we're going to hear wars and see wars and hear rumors of wars.
Mm-hmm.
Within just this week, Iran and Saudi Arabia are going at each other. There's a threat of war there. Oil is becoming scarce.
Right.
That's going to cause more warfare as people come in and try to take. The richest deposits of oil in the Middle East are under Israel. Are under Israel. So everybody wants that. So these wars and bloodshed will be taking place over that.
Right. Then it ushers in the third one, which is the black horse, which brings about famine.
Well, war brings about famine.
It always does.
It brings about pestilence. It brings right. about plagues. And one leads to the other. And the fifth seal, we're talking about the souls under the altar. Right. The tribulation.
Those martyrs. That have given their life during this period of the first 3.5 years will find their souls underneath the altar.
Yeah. And it's
some martyrs of the book of tribulation.
If you do profess Christ as Savior during this period of time,
your life will be taken.
Your life will be taken. Now, a lot of people speculate how this will happen. I've heard people say that there are stockpiles of. I don't know it to be true, but stockpiles of guillotines already stored up around the world so that the government can use them to behead people, just like they did in France and other places back in history. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of death in this thing.
And then moving on to the sixth seal, we see here in verse 12, chapter 6, the book of Revelation says, "And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood." So this is the first of three earthquakes that are actually to come.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, what takes place between the sixth seal and the seventh seal is something that's very important. We don't want to skip past it, right? Because it takes place in Revelation chapter 7. That is the 144,000 preachers that will be sealed, Jewish preachers yes. that will be sealed. That's very important. We don't want to skip over that. That happens between the sixth seal and the seventh seal. Yeah,
that's right. 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel.
Now, not replacement theology.
No.
A lot of people want to put the church in there and use that as a no, that is actually 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. Mm-hmm. These are Jewish men that will be sealed to do what, Jim?
To preach the kingdom gospel.
The kingdom gospel, right. And then, of course, the seventh seal we do see there is silence. And we see the golden censer this taken out at this point. And so that then ushers in is to the next seven judgments, which is considered the trumpets, the seven mm-hmm. trumpet judgments. And that is the Revelation chapter 8, verse 7 through Revelation chapter 11, verse 19. And so the first one we see is hail, fire, and blood.
Mm-hmm.
The second one that we see is a burning mountain. Then number three is the star wormwood. Then number four is the sun is smitten. The sun will no longer be able to shine. Then number five is the plague of locusts. And this is actually, there's three woes that take place, and this is the first woe. Woe unto. And so we see that the plague of locusts is the first woe. The second woe is the plague of horsemen. This is where they're going to come, and they're going to kill a third
of the earth's population.
And then we get to the seventh one, and in between the sixth and seventh again, we see a little book in chapter 10. What is that book, Jim?
That little book in chapter 10. I think John says that little book, when he tasted of it, it was bitter.
It was bitter, exactly.
It was bitter.
Good.
I think it's my speculation that the book of Revelation is the book that God told Daniel to seal up until the last days, and he gave that book to John.
Right.
And I think that little book is probably John's vision as he sees all this stuff taking place.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
It's bitter to him. It's hurting, but it's also in some way joyous that he's seeing Christ, you know, come back and set up that kingdom.
Amen.
They had
won. Amen. And then the seventh one is where Christ rules in the trumpets. Then it brings, let's talk about the seven key figures.
Okay.
We see these seven key figures in chapter 12, verse 1 through chapter 13, verse 18. And in these seven figures, we also see the third woe. The first one is a woman, and it's Israel.
It's Israel.
Then we see the dragon, which is Satan.
Mm-hmm.
We see the male child, which is Christ. Then we see Michael, the archangel.
Mm-hmm.
Then we see the remnant, which is those that are saved in Israel.
That's right.
And then we see the Antichrist, which is the beast out of the sea. And then number seven, we see the false prophet, which is the beast out of the earth. That is the seven key figures. After we are introduced to those seven key figures, it rolls into chapter 15, verse 1 through chapter 16, verse 21, and that's where we see the seven bowl judgments. So we have the seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven key figures. Now we're going to look at the seven bowl judgments, and those are really horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
Now these judgments are going to be poured out on this earth and everyone that's on it. And because the first one that we see, is boils, literal boils on their bodies. That's going to be horrendous.
Well, just think of all the filth.
Oh, yeah. From the famine and the pestilence. And absolutely.
From the wars and the pestilence and the famine, the dead and rotting animals that are laying around. It's going to be terrible.
It is.
I mean, you can name.
We see that next bowl judgment is the sea turning to blood.
Mm-hmm.
The sea turning to blood. Then number three is the rivers turn to blood. So what does that say? That says the salt water, you won't be able to get anything to eat out of it.
And the fresh water.
Right. So if the rivers turn to blood, so do the what? The whales.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there, you won't have fresh drinking water.
Right.
No. So this is horrible. Then we see great heat.
Mm-hmm.
We see that they're going to be scorched.
And so it went from bad to worse. First, you ran out of water.
Yeah.
You don't have any water at all. And then verse 8 of chapter 16, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire.
Mm.
That's the heat from the sun.
Well, these things cross each other in some ways, too. If we look at this great heat, and we look back at the third trumpet, fourth trumpet, the sun is smitten.
Right.
So that could literally lead to the sun going supernova.
Right. But then again, that correlates with the bowl judgment five.
Yeah.
Because then there's great darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm talking about so dark you cannot see your hand in front of your face dark.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then number six. Number six. And I think that we're, this one's interesting because the Euphrates is going to dry up. What are we seeing right now today, Jim?
The Euphrates is drying up.
That's exactly what we're seeing. It doesn't take long. Google it, and you will see pictures that will blow your mind right now today.
Yeah, and that opens the door for the kings of the East, for China, and Russia to come in to try to take over Israel and Jerusalem. And therefore leading up to the Battle of Armageddon.
Right. It brings in the final bowl judgment is hail. It's going to rain hail from heaven, so to speak.
Have you noticed, and this is something I've noticed, that all the plagues and curses that fall upon the earth almost mimic the plagues and curses that God poured upon Egypt?
I agree. Yep. Yep. I do agree. Very similar. Very similar.
Just wanted to jump in before we move a little bit forward. I want to go back to what Pastor Joe read as far as the sixth judgment was concerned. Because again, I'm looking at it. If I'm a new baby Christian and I'm reading my Bible, you know, probably one of the first passages or chapters I come to is the New Testament. And in Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 26, Jesus speaks here and he says, there would be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Jim, from what Jesus was speaking about in this passage compared to what Pastor Joe read in Revelation with the sixth judgment with the moon as blood. By the time people listen to this podcast, there will be something that has already taken place on November the 8th, which is our election day. And in the early morning hours, there's going to be a blood moon that is going to appear in the skies. How can we differentiate between what Jesus was saying here and what the judgment, because the judgment is in the tribulation when the blood, when the moon turns into blood, that's the judgment part, correct?
I will go to a scientific answer on that. Science continues to prove scripture. Scientists now know that there are great rumblings in Yellowstone National Park. Yellowstone National Park is the largest volcano on planet Earth. And when the caldera erupts, it will bury everything in the United States under 12 foot of ash. It will bury Europe under 3 to 4 foot of ash. And if you think about all that ash in the air, you're talking about no sunlight getting through. You're talking about going into another ice age. You're talking about all kinds of crazy stuff. So this can happen in a moment. Don't ever think that, oh, it's just fanciful stuff we're talking about here. This is actually going to happen. And scary. Science now is proving it to be right as we see these things start to take place. Now, you know, blood moons are caused by ash or smoke in the atmosphere. What blood moons tell me is there's something catastrophic happening going on, and I think we will see even more of this in the end days, as this stuff begins to come apart.
You bring up some valid points, though. When you think about, let's use boils on the skin for an example. What does radiation do?
Nothing good. If you have protective cover, you got about 30 seconds longer than what you had without it.
Right. So, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, when you think about those things, you really, you can start to understand a little bit more about how these type things can happen. And it's not something that's supernatural. It's actually very natural that God uses. If that makes sense.
Well, if you just think about the acid levels in volcanic ash.
Oh, absolutely.
Will burn the skin off people. I mean, That's, you know,
horrendous.
It's not far fetched.
No, it's not. Okay, so we're still in the period of tribulation. My goodness.
Right.
Hey, listen, friend, if you're listening to the podcast and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'd like to take just a moment. I'd like to tell you who he is. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He came to this earth. He lived a sinless life. He went to a criminal's cross and he died for the remission of all sins. That means your sin. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. On the third day, he was resurrected. He now sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for all those that are called his children. And in order to become his child, you simply have to call on his name. Call on his name, make him the Lord of your life. Confess your sin and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. And you will not have to experience this. You will not have to experience this. Maybe you say, oh, listen, I need help with that. By all means, please send us an email. We would love to contact you. If you would like to do that, just send it to chadnall@chadnallministries.org. Send me an email. I'd be glad to make contact with you. I would love to talk to you about what the next step of salvation looks like. But that's really all it takes. You don't need a preacher to get there. You don't need a class to get there. You don't need money to get there. You just need to call on Jesus. That's all you need to do. And that's what can take place. You won't have to experience any of these things.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen, Pastor.
You won't have to experience any of them.
Because at the end of this, everything, whether we've talked to you, end up in one or two places. You end up at one or two thrones. You end up at the Bema seat or the right throne of judgment. If you end up at the Bema seat, that's a seat of judgment that ends in rewards. If you end up at the great white throne, that is a judgment that ends with no rewards.
Amen.
And you being cast into the lake of fire. One of those two things will happen. You will either end up in heaven or you will end up in hell. You will be in heaven. You will be raptured out of here. You won't endure all the things that we're talking about here tonight, or you'll be left behind. And getting us back on track, if you're kind of wondering what's happening here on earth, we're talking about the tribulation times and Revelations. I want to bring up two verses, Revelation 16:9. And this is in the later portion of the tribulation. It says, and men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. They're not sorry about it. There's no remorse. They openly blasphemed God in this moment. And if you continue to read in there in verse 21, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hell. For the plague, therefore, was exceedingly great.
It's unreal to think about. You know, it really is. It's unreal. So there's something else that's taking place. When you get into chapter 17, it's the seven dooms on Babylon. Okay? So Babylon, we see, it's a reference. I tell you what, Jim, you want to break that down for everybody for a moment? Let's talk about maybe Babylon and in the reference to Babylon here in chapter 17 through 18.
Yeah, Babylon here is not referring to the city of Babylon or the nation of Babylon. It's referring to the one world religion, the one world church, which the Antichrist and the false prophet will use to domineer the world. She will claim herself to be the church, but she will be apostate. She will be in bed with the government. In fact, she's referred to as the great whore of Babylon.
Right.
In Revelation. And God is going to totally destroy this church.
Yeah. What takes place is there's seven dooms.
Right.
And the first one is devoid of human life. The second one is burned with fire. The third one is destroyed in 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth one is people afraid to enter her borders. The fifth one is riches brought to nothing. Sixth one is violently overthrown. And then the seventh one is devoid of all activity.
Right. You know, one thing it does say about this mystery Babylon is that is a city that sits on seven hills. And I'm not throwing stones at anybody, but I'm looking at the Word of God. There's only one city that sits on seven hills in the whole world, and that's the city of Rome. So,
because it talks about the harlot in chapter 17. And there's different speculations on it, but yeah, there's only one city that sits on seven hills. That's the Vatican.
Yeah. And, well, even the Catholic Church, it says the 112th Pope will be the Antichrist. And that's one of their Pope, their priest making that prophecy. So, wow. You know, it's kind of scary.
And then we get to the good chapters.
Yeah.
At least I consider them. Now, if you're here, they won't be good to you, but they're good to me.
Mm-hmm.
Chapters 19 through 21. You know, that's where we see the Battle of Armageddon. It won't be good for those that are here.
No.
Christ will return.
No.
And Christ will smite all those that come against him. Then that's where we see the marriage supper of the Lamb taking place. Now, let's go back to heaven. We've been through the Bema Seat. Mm-hmm. Now we went to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and now we're returning with Christ. Armageddon takes place.
Yep.
Then at that point, we see that the Antichrist, the false prophet, are all cast into the lake of fire. And then it ushers in the millennial kingdom.
Amen.
What a wonderful thing. During that millennial kingdom, Daniel chapter 12 says there's a 75-day interval. Pretty interesting. And in Daniel chapter 12, verses 11 through 12, and it's talking about the removal of the curse where the lion and the lamb will lie together. What a beautiful picture this is.
Beautiful picture.
Amen.
I mean, the curse will be removed from the earth. And the Word of God tells us that all creation groans
right
under this curse. And this curse will be lifted. I mean, it talks about the lion and the eating grass like an ox.
Right.
It talks about children playing in a pit of vipers and not being bit. All fear of man is wiped away from the natural world. And it's just...
We're going to understand what the Garden of Eden was like.
Oh, man, yes.
I mean, really and truly, that's the whole purpose to these judgments, the whole purpose of getting man back to the original state that God intended man to be in, right? You know, death was not part of God's plan.
No, it never was.
Never was. You know, when sin came into the world, then death came into the world because the first thing that had to be killed was an animal. Why? Because Adam and Eve were naked in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And when they had taken of the fruit of the tree they shouldn't have took it from, and their eyes were opened, then they realized they were naked. Matter of fact, the Bible says they did what? They put fig leaves on to cover themselves.
That's right.
So what God had to do was he had to have an animal killed that they may cover themselves with the coats of the animal. So really, symbolically, it's the picture of the atonement. Something innocent had to be killed to cover that which was guilty. Christ was innocent when he went to the cross, and he died for you and I who are guilty. And so that's the whole picture. And so when we see that, we get into this millennial kingdom, we're going to see Christ on the Davidic throne. We're going to see that in this millennial reign, there will be a new millennial temple built.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll see sacrifices will be reinstated as a memorial.
Yep.
And then we'll see that, you know, what's going to take place? Satan's going to be loosed.
Yeah.
And guess what? There's still going to be one more revolt.
One more revolt.
Because guess what? There's going to be kids that are born during the millennial kingdom. They're not going to be in glorified bodies. Right. There's still going to be sin on the earth. And so we're going to see this taking place, and we're going to see that Satan is going to still be able to cause them to turn against Jesus, who is the perfect king on this earth.
I got a question for any one of you guys that want to take it. Just what you were going off of, Pastor Chad, talking about the millennial reign and the thousand-year reign of Christ at that time. But in the Bible, just like you said, Satan is loosed for a season. As a new Christian or someone who is trying to understand the book of Revelation, if you've already defeated Satan at the Battle of Armageddon, why is he allowed to come back out after the thousand-year reign?
Because all evil must be rooted out and destroyed from the face of the earth. What comes after the millennial reign is the eternity. And that's the new heaven and the new earth. There can be no sin entering into the new heaven and new earth. So it has to be rooted out.
I have a take on it as well. I think it goes along with what Jim said. I believe that a reason that God allows Satan to be loosed is to prove to mankind one more time that you can be in the perfect environment with the perfect king, and you're still going to choose evil over righteousness.
Right.
And therefore, those that are here are going to see one last time the great need for a Savior.
Mm-hmm.
And the power of God, God's going to wipe him out. God's going to banish him for eternity. Then nothing that can defile can enter into heaven.
That's right.
I said this the other day, and it's so true. What does it take to what is the expectation to get to heaven?
Perfection.
Perfection. Right? Perfection. Why? Because nothing that's not perfect can go to heaven.
Right.
Well, wait a minute. What are you talking about? I'm not perfect. You're right. I'm not either. But I'm going to heaven. How? Because of what Christ did. He's perfect.
Right.
And his righteousness hasn't been imputed to me. Hey, listen. Hey, my account was cleared. And because he paid it.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, when God looks down from heaven, he doesn't see me and my unrighteousness. He sees Christ and his righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, one day, I'm going to be able to walk right into the new heaven and a new earth in a perfect state.
You know,
what a beautiful thing.
Amen.
I can't wait to see it. We're talking about the earth restored to its original state.
No more sea.
We will see things that say were created on the last.
I tell you what, right there, there's the teaser.
Yeah.
That's the next prophecy podcast, right? So I think, listen, we gave them a lot to chew on this week.
Yeah.
I think this is a lot, but I think before we can move forward and move backward as well and talk about some symbolism of the book of Revelation, I think you needed to understand the timeline and the time frame and what was taking place. And I think when you begin to understand those things and you can start to see the symbolism, I think then we can drop back and start talking about some things in John's vision, how John envisioned this taking place, and really what could that mean, right? I think that those are some very interesting topics, and we'll get into the new heaven and a new earth and the new Jerusalem, who's going to dwell there and who's going to dwell on the earth and who's going to have access and who's not. I think that's going to be a wonderful topic for the next time.
Amen. And again, I just want to reiterate as we get ready to close this podcast, remember what Pastor Chad said. If you want to avoid all this that we're talking about, the tribulation and what's going to happen during that, there's only one way, and that is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And we've got plenty of time to go over the plan of salvation with you. All it takes is a simple email or a simple call. PastorChad@FaithWestEnd.org is an email, or Pastor Jamie at Faith West End, or Pastor Joe at Faith West End. You can email either one of them, and they will be glad to respond to you. And we just encourage you just to take that moment in time to make that decision. But for this episode, we want to thank you for giving us a listen, for giving us a part of your time and a part of your day. And we just want to thank you for giving us a few minutes of your time for this podcast. We pray that you have been blessed and encouraged by today's podcast. Join us next time for more Ministry Focus with Pastor Chad Nall. Until then, may the Lord richly bless you. So long for now.